a title?
It could be Silly Animals, Silly People, or it could be We All Like Sheep Have Gone Astray. Okay? So if you want the religious one, We All Like Sheep Have Gone Astray. If you want another one, it's Silly Animals, Silly People. Yeah. And recently, I was out cycling, and cycling along, and I was just going up this little lane, and all these pheasants, it's the time of year you get all these pheasants running out in front of me, and I must have had about 10 pheasants in front of me, and I'm riding along thinking, go on pheasants, get out the way, and one or two jump out the way, but the rest just run up the road in front of you, and you think, come on, get out of the way. And they just keep running in front of you. And you think, move, move. And eventually there's down to about two. And, you know, in the end, they sort of got out of the way. But you think, why do they just run in front of you? And I'm thinking, silly pheasants, you know, following, running ahead of me. And then silly animals. And then recently we were out for a walk in West Wales and South Wales, and we were just walking along, and there were some sheep at the side of the footpath, and of course they start walking along in front of us, and you think, come on, get out the way, sheep, you know, and then they just keep moving along in front of you, and you say, come on, out the way, and they just keep walking. As you walk, they walk. And in the end, they got out the way, and you kind of think, why do they always do this? You think they could just step off to the side. We're not interested in the sheep, but they have to run along in front of you. Silly sheep. And as we walked a bit further along with these sheep, we heard one calling out, meh, you know. And Roo and his friend, they kind of were joking around, going, Ed, you know, Ed. And with this sheep, they're talking to the sheep, but they didn't know what language they were saying to. They're talking to the sheep in sheep language, and the sheep might have taken offence or something, because after we walked along for a while, they said, "Watch out, the sheep's coming!" And we looked round, and this sheep was charging towards us, full pelt. And Roo and his friend shot past me, and I stood there brave as a warrior. laughing with my umbrella in my hand, fighting off the sheep. And this sheep, yeah, come on then. And this sheep shot past me. You know what's funny? And this sheep went right, it wasn't interested in me, just ran past. And I said, oh, it must be interesting, you know, chasing one of you lot. And so Ed got off to one side, and it wasn't interested in him. And then it was the last one, was Roo's friend, and he'd gone into the field. And the sheep, I said, Roo, it must be after Matt. And with that, Matt ran round the corner, and he tried to hide from it. And the sheep, I said, it's after you. And he jumped up the wall and flew over the barbed wire fence. I don't know how quick he got over there. Matt did. The sheep, and you know, the sheep, all it was interested in, and there we were all in this sort of panic, the sheep was just trying to get to all its friends in the field. That's all it was trying to do. And it charged past us, ran round and into the field. It wasn't interested in us. But it was funny, because we would complain about the animals. Why did they just... And there we were in the way of this thing, thinking it was chasing us. So like those pheasants. Anyway, the sheep, it just ran in there, just trying to get home. And sometimes we think they can be silly. And but that's just a little story about silly animals. But our behaviour can be exactly the same as the animals, because we ran when we thought something was chasing us, just like the pheasants ran when, and vice versa. What's wrong with you? They're laughing. They know a different side of it. And another little story. I better get on with my picture, hadn't I? But another story. We were quite a few years ago, Viv and myself, we were on a Greek island, and we went for a walk up this hillside up to the top, and we went walking up this hill, and it was quite hard work walking up this hill. We went exploring because we thought, oh, let's go for, we often used to go for walks. And as we went up this hill, we sort of zigzagged up this hill in the hot weather. And we got to the top and we had a look around. And I said to Viv, I'll tell you what, take a shortcut on the way down. I'll take a shortcut. And we took this shortcut through. I thought, look, we've zigzagged up. Why don't we just go straight down? Yeah? Straight down. That, save all that time. Straight down the middle. So off we set. And we're walking through this long grass, prickly thistles, brambly sort of bushes. It's getting worse and worse. And then you hear in the grass, you think, what's that? Snakes, I think. And so we're sort of walking down the shortcut. One of Dave's shortcuts. And but after you go so far on your shortcut, you get to the point where you think, should I go back or should I carry on? Do you know what I mean? I don't know if you've ever done that, but I've done it. And then you think, it's just as hard to go back up as to push on to the... So beware when you go on a walk with me, because it's been known. Who else has done shortcuts? Anyway, it's, but the Bible, I just, let me just see where I'm up to. The Bible tells us that we're all like sheep, that we've all gone astray. You know, that's what we're told. And just got to concentrate for a bit. Can't do two things. We're all like sheep that have gone astray. We've all wandered off, gone off and done our own thing. That's what the Bible tells us. We've left the safety of God's pen, of God's sheep pen. And that's talking about mankind in general, that we've doing our own thing. We've wandered off. The Bible tells us that. And I thought this was going to be complicated to do this talk, actually. I kind of had the picture in my head of what I wanted. But mankind has wandered, and he's doing his own thing. I think he's kind of an orangey-yellow sheep, isn't he? What do you reckon? Got to be a bit of yellow in that. There's blue in it as well. So man is doing his own thing. Oh, I've told you what it is, haven't I? I don't normally tell you what it is, do I? You might have worked it out eventually. So, man does his own thing and thinks he knows what he's doing. And we've left God's sheep pen. And God says, you know, when you've got pets, and I don't know if any of you have got pets, but you or children, same, no, just the same. When you've got pets and things like that, you want to look after them, hopefully. And God, well, not that we're his pets, but he kind of cares for us immensely. And he wants the best for us. He wants the best for us. And, you know, we can think, oh, spoil sport God, stopping us having our fun. But actually, God... He's more concerned about the best for us. And he's not out there to spoil our fun. He's caring about us. And so when he says, don't do that, he's meaning it's good for you. Is it good for him? Does it matter to God whether we do such and such? Well, it could do, because... if you've got children and they end up fighting with each other, squabbling over something silly, does it bother you as a parent? Yeah. It bothers you. So it does bother God when we do silly stuff, when we go off doing our own things, when we end up squabbling, if you can call it that, or doing our own thing as sheep who have wandered off, it does bother God. You know, we are his children and he cares. And he is interested in all that we do. And just as you are with your own children, you don't really want them hurt. You want them, and you don't necessarily do things just to be a spoil sport, do you? You don't say don't do that because you think, oh, that'll spoil their fun. You kind of, have you guessed what I've told you what it is, haven't I? Is it, you still want to try and guess it? Is it looking anything like I've said? What breed? I wish I knew what breed it was. I did a little bit of interesting. I looked up sheep, and it was quite interesting because. Does it? I've never looked up sheep before, you know, and learned a bit about them. We tend to think of them as sort of dumb animals, don't we? They tend to sort of like to flock together and follow their friends. Yeah? That's right. I wonder why they use as an example of humanity. All we like sheep have gone astray. We're all doing our own thing. All think we know best. And that's what humanity is out there. Let me have a little... I've got to stand back and have a look at my sheep. Oh, I told you again. Oh, it's getting there, isn't it? Oh, it's getting there. I've got to use my imagination. Hang on, let's have a little bit of white on them. There. Maybe a bit of something there. Is that gonna? It was a black sheep, black faced sheep at one point, but now he's seems to be turning a lighter colour. Right, let me just check where I'm up to on my talk. Oh, are we following it? And so when God gives us sort of guidelines, he's doing it for our benefit as. But he does care about us. He doesn't like to see us paining ourselves and hurting each other. And when I was thinking about this, thoughts of the Israelites going into their land when they came out of Egypt. And God gave them a set of rules, but not necessarily the Ten Commandments that you might think of, but just before they went in, he said, in Deuteronomy 27, verse I think it's 15 onwards, there's a set of do's and don'ts, blessings and curses. And when I looked at these, and you can look at them in your own time, I thought, he's given these for the people to have order and build a nation, to have order in their lives. And the first one, don't make idols, have me as God, number one. And I thought, why would you need that as a first command? Why would you need God as your first command? Don't make idols, put me first. And you think about it, and because we are supposed to keep our eyes on God, on him. We're supposed to respect God, follow him and trust him. But if we start making idols or putting other things first, the authority of God is lost. And once we lose that authority of God, man starts to take charge and starts to make the rules. So that's why putting God first is so important, because the authority of God is very important, that we take God's authority first. And our society is moving away from God's authority first in many respects. They want to put other things first. The second one on the list was, I'm just going to put it in my words here, because don't dishonour your father and mother. And you think, that's a funny one to have second. You could have had something like don't kill or don't something else. Honour your mother and father. Because in a way, it's putting an order into their lives of authority and respect. And that's what you put second. And these things are very important, because once man gets rid of God and starts to dishonour those people above them in authority, society starts to break down, and we are seeing society break down with family breakdown. And that's because we're losing God and we're losing the family order. The third one, I'm not going to go through the whole list, but I just thought they were an interesting list that they put when they were going in. Don't move a boundary stone. Just an interesting one. Don't move a boundary stone. And I was talking to someone recently, and their father-in-law was shot and killed over this kind of issue, a land dispute. And I thought, because what happens with things like land disputes and property disputes, hate and family feuds build up. And it brings in division. And then you start to end up fighting. So it's a breakdown of society from God first. God is to be first. And then that order of like mother and father. And then things like property and boundaries and changing and stealing. But the way they put it, and then it goes on to a whole load of other sexual sins, which you can look up in your own time if you want. Like, don't have sex with animals. And that seems a rather odd one to have next, or near enough, quite soon down the list. That's because that's the society that they were moving into. And it was saying, don't copy what they do. Don't do likewise. I'm not going to go through them all, though, but you can look through them on your own. A man decides to do his own thing all the time and follows man. Man likes to set his own agenda and his own example. Ooh, getting there. Let's try and get these legs working here. Do a bit more, eh? And then if you could put up Isaiah 53. Yeah. This is where I started, really, with Isaiah 53. And I found this, kind of going through it, really quite, interesting. It's a fantastic bit of writing, really, because it was written hundreds of years before Jesus. Hundreds of years. So it'd be like writing something now for, I don't know, 500, 600, 700, 800 years from now. Try doing that. Right, what is it? Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up, and who is it talking about? Well, he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. It's like a dry place. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. We're talking about Jesus here, written hundreds of years before he existed. And you know what? You know when you watch a film about Jesus, they'll pick a film star, won't they? Well, they always pick a film star, someone perhaps good-looking and that. Oh, wait a minute. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. There was nothing about him that made him stand out. If he was sat in here, he'd be Mr. Average. Sort of, we don't like that, really. We want him to be a little bit like, wow, special bloke. But he was Mr. Average. In fact, even when he had done miracles and that, they needed someone to betray him because they wouldn't work out which one it was. It's probably all these blokes there with beards and moustaches and they all look the same. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. There's nothing about him that made him special. He wasn't like, it's just a normal bloke. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows. So I don't know what kind of person that's describing. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. Well, we could say that could be about his life, but it could be about when he was being executed. And we esteemed him not, whatever that means. We esteemed him not. We didn't think much of him. Didn't think anything of him. Didn't give him any sort of... Stay. Just tell my notes to stay there. It's all right. Oh no, that's the wrong one. It's slightly... Uh-oh. Don't laugh, you lot. It's good to be
Good thing this is not YouTube, isn't it?
Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. So he was doing us, he was doing something for us, and we were just rejecting him, really, in that sense. Where are we? Have we moved on? But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Are you going on a bit? So he's punished for us. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Can I hold it there a minute? So we have gone on and done our own thing, humanity, people. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And when I thought about this, maybe we don't think we're such a bad person. Maybe I'm not too bad. And I was thinking about this, and I'm thinking, I don't know, it's been in the papers, in this, on the news recently. They've been doing this inquest into Rochdale, haven't they? And you think, those men were horrible, weren't they? And I thought, those men, that what they got up to, the sin, the sick, the depravity of it, was laid on him if they accept him. It's hard to get my head around that, because I was thinking about it and I thought, it doesn't seem right, because that sin that they commit, that sin was laid on him. Our sin is laid on him, but the worst sin is laid on him. And when I was thinking about that, I was thinking, that's just, it's not fair. It's not fair. It really isn't fair. It shouldn't be like that. And let's just do a little bit of that. Hang on now, kids. We're getting there. Oh, where are we up to? The iniquity laid on him all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And then you've had that in the reading today. Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. And he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Now, this could be confusing here, because I've got my sheep here, and we are sheep, but he was a sheep that was obedient. We are sheep that have run astray. He did not open his mouth. He just took the punishment for us. And as I come towards the finish, I just want to go to 1 Peter 2. And hopefully it, I don't know where my comes together. Slightly disjointed. Sorry, from 13 onwards. I just want to read this, because when I looked at this, it sort of ties in. Submit yourselves for the Lord's... So what's happened is Jesus took on the sin for us. And then he's saying, now, for that, you try and be like him. And here we go. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted. This is quite a challenge, this set of verses now. Very challenging. Among men, instituted amongst men. Whether to the king as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men. So Jesus has come and set us free. Live like free men, but use it for good. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Because with freedom, you can do good and bad with freedom. like the sheep that's gone astray, you can do good and bad. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. We'll go on to the end slowly. Slaves. See, now these are funny ones. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. So sometimes you get an injustice done against you, don't you? And sometimes you feel like fighting back. But actually, it says, if you know that God is your shepherd, your freer, cope with it in Christ. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? Good for you. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. And it's funny, it's interesting really, because Ed had something similar to this recently. Sorry, Ed. And it was a work experience. And he said, but I know I did right. And I know I'm right before God. So he said, he can deal with it. Do you see what I mean? So in a sense, when someone sort of accuses you wrongly, before God, you can deal with it so it doesn't get you all angry and wound up and stressed out. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. Of course he goes on. Is that it? For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And you know, when I was thinking about that, where it says he died unjustly, Jesus, I was thinking, we don't see that much in our lives, do we? And I was thinking about those reporters who were beheaded in Iraq. And it shocks the West, doesn't it? It sickens the West that someone is just executed for nothing, really. He hasn't done them any wrong. In fact, they've even helped their cause. And they've killed him. And I thought, that's what Christ did for us. Only worse, because they dragged out the execution for hours, not 20 minutes or 10 minutes or however long it would take to kill them. And you think that's what Christ did for us, that he suffered for us. And so, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd. And as I thought about all this, finishing off now, and I thought about the sheep, and I thought about Christ who set us free, and all that he's done for us. And I've drawn this sheep in a very, in dark, well, I've picked the black paper on purpose because I wanted, you know, when we live life and we can be a sheep that's wandering off and doing our own thing, which is fine when it's daytime and it's pleasant and the grass is green and it's great. But when we're in a dark place, when things go dark, do we want to be in a dark place on our own, thinking, is there a wolf over here or a bear over there? Or do we want the shepherd protecting us, standing by? And our place, God wants us to call on him and have the good shepherd with us. So we have been, and Jesus is the shepherd who has set us free, but he wants to be with us and part of our lives. And he wants us to be able to call on him, and that's what we've been talking about, prayer, be able to call on him and trust in him that he is with us. in all our in the ups and the downs, that we're not on our own trying to survive on our own. Are we almost there with him? I've got to have a little stand back. Is he a bit, how does he look? Is he a little bit fat? Hasn't he got enough leg? Two more legs?
Yeah.
You think? They're standing together. I can. Yeah. It's got to be dark, really. Down the. I've got to do the dark legs. Here. Hang on, let's go dark. Huh? A little tail. They do. And you know, a sheep's tail hangs down, I think, and a goat's tail sticks up. Because they're both related, they're kind of related, sheep and goats, and you can hardly tell the difference. That's another story, isn't it? The sheep and the goats. Hang on. So it really, have I? Oh, you have. I think I've almost eyes. Tricky. Could be dark eyes. How are we going to do eyes? Oh. Hang on, let me stand back. Anyway, there you go. Oh, no tails. Some people are a bit worried here. Should we put something there? That's right. There you go, look. How about that? So it's best to have the good shepherd with us, isn't it? We want to have the shepherd. And again. And I think I'm going to call it an end there. But we all, like sheep, have gone astray. And without the shepherd, it's not a good place to be. Because I certainly wouldn't want to be. And hopefully that's kind of just about held together, I think. Come on up. Leaves aren't fast.